Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Matty B. And it's officially the offseason because I really don't have anything that I want to talk about. Normally, I get fired up about things, but most of the news this week is college football related. I know Matt's fired up because it has to do with the ACC down here. But before we get into that real quick, the college football playoff committee finally voted to lock in the five conference champs highest rating or highest ranked make the playoff. And I'm kind of disappointed in that because I've been one that pushing, hey, every conference should have an auto bid. I think that's what makes the basketball tournament great. And I think anyone would just be in denial if they didn't want that. Because, like, you're alienating so many different conferences that have a large number of alums. Maybe not as much like the Big Ten and the MAC, like it's not going to line up one-to-one. But the MAC schools have enough that to bring in casual interest. And I think that's where the TV deals, eventually it's going to plateau. Where unlike the NFL, where they can keep bringing people in. Because like, hey, we're going to do like these European tours or whatever they're trying to do. Hey, we're going to try to bring in extra fans. It's hard to get someone fired up if they didn't go to the school. And having the school as a base is good. Like having groups of alums or people that even like went to an outreach program. Or I know people that cheer for Michigan. They're like, yeah, I did some like, I'm a teacher. They did like some trainings at school or whatever. Got some certificates. Like having that type of tie-in is great. But there are other schools doing the same thing that are not going to be represented. There are so many small basketball schools, like even like Loyola, Chicago, or whatever, the team that made a run, or the one from Baltimore-ish, Maryland area, or whatever, that made a run. Small schools that no one really knows, but they have a decent enough fan base where casual people will pull for them. In college football, I just don't see casual fans jumping in and saying, like, all right, this is the year, like, the underdog's in there, it's Miami. It's like, Miami is not the underdog, buddy. They get picked in the top whatever every year. Someone said, I saw you wanted to talk about the rankings last week and we ran out of time with the Super Bowl, but I saw once again they like put out the early rankings for next year and Miami was in the top 10 and someone's like, holy crap, Miami with another offseason ACC championship locked in. They're like undefeated, the most preseason championship, conference championships of all time. And it made me laugh because I thought, that is true. They pick like a new conference champ. They're like, oh, this is the year, Miami, baby. Or it's never like, hey, this is the year. We're picking Pitt. Pitt just ends up winning it. Or like even NC State. Some people pick NC State to win the division. They're like, we're going to get them this year. And they never do. And down here, everyone gets hyped up. And I just feel bad. It'd be like almost like picking Indiana in the Big Ten. Like, they got it. And then the one year they were close, the Big Ten even voted. They're like, nah, we pick Ohio State. We don't. You guys are close, but we don't really actually want you to win it. So that's where I kind of feel like with the playoff. Is it going to help Michigan? Yes. Am I disappointed for the future of the sport? Yes. Because and maybe they can expand it longer. Everyone keeps telling me, well, they went from 2 to 4. Now they went from 4 to right to 12. It's only a matter of time till they get 20. But if they don't do the conference auto bids, and that's why I said the smaller conferences should have came in and said, hey, what if we do a play-in tournament ourselves just to get a seat at the table? Because the college basketball play-in game, eventually they started adding teams like Syracuse and like whatever. Michigan was in it a couple times, Notre Dame. So it's like, we want people to pay attention to the play-in games. Let's include some of our big dogs, right? Kind of like a play-in tournament. And I feel like if the smaller conferences have stepped up and did that and said, hey, when you guys are doing conference championship week, we're going to do a play-in playoff game. And I think it was only a matter of time then for the big conferences to be like, hey, wait a second. We're going to do a consolation game with our conference too. Maybe they'll get picked for at large. The Big Ten tried to do it during COVID. They didn't lock it in, and I'm disappointed by that. Now with like the gigantic conferences, winning the conference is going to be big. It's going to be harder to do. That's sort of like, I think the top conference like champs of all time is like Nebraska and Oklahoma, and then like Michigan somewhere up there close. And I thought realistically with like three Big Ten champs in a row, with Oklahoma going to the SEC, if Michigan can win a few more, like Nebraska, they can't win the Big Ten. It's realistically going to be maybe Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama. They're so far behind, though, I think, that if Oklahoma can't compete in the SEC, which is unknown yet, at conference championships, it's only a matter of time before they lose those records with the expanded conferences. And with that, they're going to lose the automatic play-in or the playoff game. And it's not even a reward because you don't get the home game. That's the other thing I wish they would have switched. Everyone gets a home game, even if you get the bye. If Michigan wins the Big Ten, like last year, they would have had to play like in, where did they even play? I don't even remember. It was the Rose Bowl. They had to play in a Rose Bowl against Bama. What if they would have ended up getting like USC or something? It's like, and then it's an away game for Michigan. But they won the conference and they got the bye. Like, not a reward. It's not a reward for fans to go to Houston. Right? Like the ghetto boy said, Houston's borderline of hard times, buddy. You don't want to be there. It's not how you spend your vacation. So, I wish they had another home game. That's my last thought on it. What do you think of these playoff expansions?
Well, the expansion is another thing that I feel like it's nice in theory, but I think it's also setting some of those at-large bids up to the power two. So you're going to have, like, essentially in this new format, like you're looking at, you're going to guarantee your winner. So we'll just say Michigan's your winner, and then immediately Ohio State would be in, and then would you go with your Washington or Penn State for your third one? You know, like, just looking similarly to the way last year's playoff played out. And from the SEC, you're going to have your Texas, your Georgia, your Bama. I mean, you're covering the majority of the teams to begin with.
Yeah, and that's why, like you said last year, let's say for hypothetical, Washington and Michigan, that championship game was actually like the conference championship. I think Washington's in, even they lose that game, like even what was it, 20 point victory or whatever it was. I don't remember the exact number, but they're in. Ohio State's in, like you said, and then probably Penn State's in. That's three of the seven. So, like, from your perspective, Florida State, they won, but would another ACC team even come close?
No.
Because who would it have been? Louisville?
The only other way that it might is if you factor, and I don't even think you can do it, but factor Notre Dame in as an ACC, like, do they fit in that, or they're claiming independent, so are they not eligible for the top four spots ever?
No, they don't get the top four. They voted on that. Their president said that they don't care because they know it's a ripoff. They said they want the home game. That's why every other conference should have been like, whoa, wait a second. If Notre Dame knows that getting the home game and the win is better because it helps with recruiting, because like how many years Michigan was in the playoffs, everyone kept saying, like, they can't even win in the postseason. They haven't won a bowl game and whatever. It wasn't like, hey, they've been making the playoffs. They've been winning the Big Ten. The narrative shifted against them. Notre Dame knows that they're not going to have the conference championship game. They're hoping that they win enough that they're going to get in. They're always going to get picked for a home game because like the TV networks want that, right? It's going to be jerry-rigged. Let's be honest. If the at-large is like, oh, like last year, if it would have been, if Michigan would have lost to Washington in the championship game or whatever, and it would have came down to like, oh, it's a really close race. It's going to be, or I guess even like, was it Penn State played Missouri? They weren't going to give Missouri the home game. There's no way. They would have wanted that in Beaver Stadium as a whiteout. 100%. It wouldn't even have been a debate. They wouldn't have been like, hey, guys, behind closed doors, do you really think Missouri deserves it? And everyone would be like, hell no. We want Penn State to have it. Like, we want Notre Dame to have the home game. We want it in the big house. That's why I said it helps Michigan out. As a fan of Michigan, I should be excited. But as a fan of college football, I'm not. It's like, oh, it should be. The other team should get a home game. Like, Michigan should have to travel if they lose. Like, Penn State, or like even the Southern teams, people keep saying, oh, the Southern teams are going to have to go to the North. Not really. Like, Bama is probably going to get the benefit of the doubt, just like Penn State or Michigan would. And it's going to be rare that I think they're going to be matched up, because people don't realize, for the college basketball, they try to separate conferences a little bit. So I don't think you're going to get some of the rematches. So you might get some of these, but they didn't flat out say that. For basketball, they say we're trying to avoid conference rematches early in the tournament. And the football has not said that one time. So, like, I wonder too, like, are we going to get screwed where it's like, we see like a Michigan Penn State rematch like 3 years in a row? It's like, why? They can play in the conference. Like, why are they playing in the playoffs? But we'll see what happens. I mean, I don't know. I just think that, like, if the small school is going to be close, like the whatever the 8-9 seed, they're going to change it. They're going to change it. They'll make up some BS thing like, I can't have it in West Virginia. There's no airport there. Come on, my man. We got to play in Tuscaloosa. Get out of there. Not even a question. And the people will be buying it. They'll be eating it up, dude. And then the schools will never have a chance.
But following along that line, and this is the thing that really aggravates me, is that when you look and consistently in these way too early top 25s, I've seen a couple teams that I just don't agree with. Like, and these are my big three: Ole Miss, Missouri, and Penn State. None of those three have a legitimate claim to their own conference. Like, there's not a way that they're going to win the conference this year.
So you're saying they won't win the conference coming in. So you think they should have no chance at the playoff?
I'm not saying that they're not going to have a shot at the playoffs, because in a lot of these rankings, they're ranked 6, 7, 8. So if you're already starting the season off overinflated, because I think just for the sake of simplicity, I'm just going to use Missouri and Penn State. When Missouri plays Georgia, who's the favorite? Georgia. When they play Texas, who's the favorite? Texas. When they play Bama, who's the favorite? Coin flip, but likely Bama. So there's three losses right off the smack. You know, you look at Penn State, Ohio State, there's a loss. Likely Michigan, there's a loss.
Hey, I'll say the same
thing. Oregon, there's a loss. Like, you know, there's three losses, but because they're ranked in the top 10 at the start of the year, well, those are when they were a top 10 team. But did they actually deserve to be there? Have they done anything over the last couple seasons to prove that they're deserving to be in this higher tier? You know, and I'll argue, like, just so that I'm not a homer, why would Miami be in the top 25 of anything? They haven't won since the early 2000s. There's no, like, you win every offseason, but you haven't even had a winning record in how long? Like, there's no reason you need to be a top 25 team, other than if you want to sell t-shirts.
But see, that's the one thing too, where Miami, the one that, I know I was joking about them in the pre-show or whatever, but they keep getting the benefit of the doubt that before Harbaugh got there, like, Michigan never got that. They weren't like picking, even with Harbaugh, they were kind of like, they'll finish third. Like, the 22. We're going to unrank them. like make them work their way up. Even like the first time they made the playoffs, Michigan came in and they were like one of the lowest ranked teams to make the playoffs. And it's like, yeah, I mean, coming off the COVID year, maybe, but in terms of talent, they never should have been that low. Like Miami has worse seasons every year and they never get like ranked that low just based on talent, they say. But the talent never goes to the pro. So like some of the programs, you would think that Penn State's been churning out a bunch of NFL guys. Maybe they get the benefit of the doubt. Missouri, they're new. I wouldn't give them the benefit of the doubt. But Ole Miss, maybe, just because Lane Kiffin, even though he's never won like anything, right?
When he was OC at Alabama.
As the head coach, he won like nothing. He got fired on the tarmac. He left Tennessee. Like, he hasn't been great as a head coach where it's kind of like, hey, that's the guy that I want. Like, I don't even remember. I thought that he would be good at Alabama as a mix-up because he did work there. But, like, when Michigan's job came open, it wasn't like, oh, we should get Lane Kiffin. I was more thinking of other coaches, you know?
But where things really worked well for Kiffin was when, because, I mean, it's essentially the same style of offense, was when he had Kendall Browse running his offense. When he first, like, was leaving Bama and was kind of forced into Florida Atlantic, he had Kendall Browse with him as his offensive coordinator, and they were scoring points out the wazoo. Like that seemed to be where he was going to find his niche, to just run that style of hurry up offense and get the athletes and the speed to take advantage of it.
Well, see, that's the one thing where at Ole Miss, they can get the recruits. Actually, I'm looking at the odds for next year, the updated ones. They are, I got to do the math here. I think Michigan 7s, Ole Miss right behind them. They might even be tied. This stupid site is so small, I can't see. But
Michigan's at 7?
Yeah. And then Ole Miss would be 8 and Florida State would be 9.
I mean, that's a little bit closer, but I still feel like the consistent four that I've seen is Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, and Texas. And I mean, realistically, there's logical reasoning and consistency to have them within that range. Notre Dame at 5. Why? Why would Notre Dame be ranked that high ever?
Are they 5? Are you looking at the preseason rankings?
I've looked at a handful of different ones, but Notre Dame's consistently one of the teams that's ranked in this like really high top level because the media people really want to push for Notre Dame to be in the playoffs. I mean, driving this whole money issue, it doesn't matter if they win. It matters that they're in and people buy the tickets and licensing stuff. But like when the games count, there's no reason they should be there. You know, and for all the issues that I have with Michigan, they should. That's a logical place for them to fit.
Yeah. See now, so the stupid site redirected because like pop up, and I was looking to see where the rest would be. It looks like Michigan had started at 5. They dropped 2 because of course Harbaugh left, but all the talent's still there. Like Michigan didn't have a bunch of people leave like Alabama did, right? But they still have Alabama in the top. Like it was Georgia, and Bama, Texas, Ohio. Actually, it was Georgia, Ohio State, Texas. Then I think Bama, USC, Oregon was up there somewhere. But those were like the top couple teams. Maybe Bama wasn't as high. But then it was Michigan, Ole Miss, and then Florida State's kind of where I stopped reading. So I didn't see Florida State ahead of them, even this other site. They have Notre Dame below Florida State. Uh-huh. They're the next team up, so they would be what? If Michigan 7, 8, 9, so they'd be 10th. 10th best odds, and like to your point, that's still high enough to make the playoffs. These are like just the Vegas odds, though. And, I mean, I hate having them ranked because they haven't produced. So why have them that high? Even like the year before, like last year they were ranked high, but they had lost to like Marshall the year before, right?
Yeah.
I feel like a normal team loses to Marshall. That's it for the next year's hype. Right? It's not like we got a lot of those guys coming back. So here's the next. Oh, I think I might have found the updated. So they do have Bama up there. I guess these aren't the same. It's Georgia, Ohio State, Texas would be the top three. They have Oregon and then Bama at five. And then they do have LSU was the other team I missed. Then they have Notre Dame.
Right now, I mean, Bama's schedule is cupcake soft. So, I mean, they could fall asleep and walk away with 11 wins.
But it's a new coach. You can't expect a coach to come in following a legend that has its own system and have everything just transition easy. It's not like Urban Meyer leaving Ohio State and everything's just the same.
Like, no, you're not wrong, but I feel like there's still a level of the older players that are there, that are staying there, understand what it takes to win, and there's going to be a small window where they continue to maintain playing at a high level, or that culture just shifts, and it just nosedives in a hurry. I mean, and it's very, you'll know probably by mid-season which direction Bama's going to tilt.
But I think the Ohio State comparison's pretty good because Urban Meyer ran more of like a power pro-ish style, and Alabama's offense now is going to shift to exactly what Ohio State's been running. Pass heavy, dink and dunk. I mean, people saw like the highlights of like Penix throwing like deep, but they didn't watch any Washington games. Like, you know, they didn't. So what they saw in against Michigan, where people were like, weren't they taking any deep shots or doing any of that stuff? It's like, you watch the highlights, buddy. You watch the highlights. The Michigan game is their game. Dinking and dunking, 100 billion screens. They got guys open, but like you're just not going to outrun Michigan. Now, we've seen Ohio State struggle with that style of offense against regular pro power teams. Georgia, Michigan, they even struggled against Oregon. So like running that at Bama, I don't think Bama's offense is as talented, they probably are the same talent as Ohio State, but I'm saying they're not more talented right now than what Ohio State's been having at wide receiver. And the key for them is going to be quarterback, just like Ohio State. Every year it comes down to Ohio State's in the mode right now where they're chasing QBs. And I've been saying it for weeks now. Milroe is not an air raid quarterback. He would fit into Urban Meyer's offense. It'd be awesome. I mean, I wouldn't want to see that at Ohio State, right? That's why I've been hoping Michigan. We don't know what Michigan's offense is going to look like. Milroe, come play at Michigan, buddy. Just won the national champ, beat you. You know they're not going to let you run the offense at Alabama. If they try to shoehorn him in there, because they started the season last year like that, shoehorning him in the offense, and they lost to Texas bad. And then they try to like do a quarterback change. A lot of people forget that because of how their season went. And then they kind of tailored the offense to him, but I think it was too late. And that's why they had the hiccups against Michigan and Auburn late in the year, because they never really went all in. There's no way a coach coming in that's won at every level with his offensive system is going to come in and be like, you know what? We got to try something different. Like, he's going to come in and say, we're forcing my system. It works. And I think that that's going to mess up. There's going to be a thing where they're going to turn into Ohio State and they're going to be chasing QBs. They brought a ton in, right? Ohio State brought in like five QBs this year too.
If you have a good system, you can tailor it to the athletes around you. And more so, I see this with the college ranks. You have to tailor it to the quarterback. Depending on what he can do, if he's a runner, then you implement more zone style runs, reads, options. If he can throw, you have your RPO game. You build some stuff off of your run game extensions, and you let him use his arm. But I truly believe to be successful, you got to take advantage of what your quarterback can do, and then build your offense out from that.
And that's where Ryan Day struggled, and then he eventually gave up play calling, and he was ready to go to Bill O'Brien. like a total shift. And now he's going to Chip Kelly that runs a different system. So, like, what are they going to actually look like? Where if Alabama comes in, runs air raid, it'd be the first air raid national championship, I think. So that'd be funny. I've been wanting to see it happen. It's almost like if Alabama would have hired like a Mike Leach, but no, he never got like that level of gig. Somehow DeBoer just like walks in and he gets it. He's like, hey, I'm here. It's like, all right, Alabama got you. I know Michigan wanted him, but I was kind of hesitant. I mean, I thought, oh, this is going to be great because like if Michigan's not going to go all in NIL, he's used to winning with like less talented guys. But we joked about, I don't know if we talked about it on the show, but if you look at Alabama's coaching staff, it's like almost the exact same staff that was at Indiana the year they went 8-5 a couple years ago. Now they get more talent. Are they going to be able to take an Indiana 8-5 to a national championship? Maybe. But that, I think the head coach or someone got kind of pushed out and then he became Ohio State's offensive coordinator. That's where I said, like, they're going to run the same exact system that Ohio State's been running. They're the same coaches. Ohio State took Indiana's coach. Alabama just hired Indiana's the rest of the staff. So, like, all you need to do is just go ahead and look at what, I mean, you can watch Washington, you can watch some Ohio State, but it's the same type of thing. If you get into a game where they're grinding and making you earn it, I think, like, having that style of coaching, like, you're going to be afraid to take the deep shots because you're thinking, oh, don't worry, I can control the clock with my passing game. And all it takes is a guy jump cutting a slant. Like, Will Johnson jump cutting a slant to Marvin Harrison last year, intercepted it to set the tone. And Ohio State could never match that. Like, they got behind in the game early, and like that was it. They were chasing points the rest of the game. And they were kind of afraid to take a deep shot because if they knew, if we start taking deep shots and they intercept another one, we're like, we're done. Same with in the championship game. Michigan breaks two long runs and Washington's already in. All right, we got to just start grinding it out like deer in the headlights type look. And I wonder how that's going to work at a place like Alabama. Of course, two losses get you in the playoffs. And if you can win in the playoffs, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But I don't know. I'm kind of excited. I'm worried that the Power 2, like you said, are going to steal a lot of those playoff spots. Our other concern that I want to spend, make sure we have a ton of time on, is the ACC. Because I don't understand how they are still acting like everything is fine. Right? Down here, I don't know if I know you've been following the Florida State stuff, but just for the broader people that aren't really following the ACC, ESPN announced that they're going to have their own like streaming network after that deal where we talked about they're going to have like a streaming package. So they're going to have a package like with HBO and Fox Sports or whatever, where you can just get your package. But the issue still happens. I try to watch Hurricanes game, blacked out. The ACC seems to be fine with that. The blackout games down here, which is three schools for me, that's a heck of a lot of games for me to want to pay for an ACC package that they seem to be fine with taking lower payouts. And they're trying to force like teams like Florida State to just be into the conference for another, what, 12 years?
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're going to just help the ESPN out. And then ESPN's like, we're going to go ahead and let you subscribe to just the ESPN networks as a package like people were calling for. And I can't wait to see what the price of that is. Is it going to be more of a streaming package? Or is it just going to be like TV? Because if it's streaming and they have blackouts and stuff, you're going to see a lot of people that are pretty pissed off. Because the only thing they watch ESPN for is local sports. And that's why with the ACC basketball being so big down here, I joked with you, like, teams are still talking about it. I was out at like the bar, and one guy was talking about how Florida State is just over and over their heads. They don't understand how powerful the ACC is. And I just kept thinking, like, this guy is delusional. The ACC has no power at all. They can fight the battle in court, which I think is what's coming up. So why don't you go ahead and talk about that a little bit?
Well, this week on the 22nd, we're looking at the opening round of some of the litigation. And the two big motions is one of them is the ACC's motion to seal, because they're trying to keep some of the documents closed off that also involve ESPN. And then the second one is to dismiss the ACC complaint against Florida State. And part of it is that the ACC filed their claim in North Carolina before Florida State sent theirs in Florida, because I guess the mindset was, well, we want to hurry up and file it so that everything's heard in North Carolina and try to claim home field advantage. But with the way that the ACC set up, a lot of these decisions from the conference require a 2/3 vote. Well, nobody ever voted. It was just the ACC, just commissioner and representative just acting on behalf of the conference. Well, it doesn't work that way, because if that's the case, then when they were negotiating for some of these TV deals, they wouldn't have gotten stuck with this $30 million a year payout when the SEC and the Big Ten are bringing in, what, 60, 70 million?
Yep.
So, I mean, when you look at that, it boils down to trying to challenge the grant of rights. And if they're able to get this heard and Florida State's able to move past, like, from what I'm seeing, it seems like the ACC's already in a spot where they're like, I don't think that we can win this outright. So they're just looking to try to get whatever money they can back. And so one of the things that I was reading was that one of the things ESPN's trying to do is to have, or ACC's trying to have Florida State pay back whatever TV money they would potentially get as part of their ACC buyout. Now, instead of it being like $450 million, now if it's just $30 million their TV rights, that's a whole hell of a lot different. That's an easy path to get out of the conference.
And they're saying that Florida State actually has investment groups doing bids for bonds, even if it ends up being like something outrageous, like $300 million, because they think that it's an attractive bond, because if they can get into the Big Ten or the SEC, they're going to make it back within like 5 years, if that.
Oh my God. I mean, just looking, if they have to pay the $30 million TV deal money back, and then they sign with the Big Ten and they're getting paid 60. I mean, you're able to pay that money back plus have the extra revenue coming in. I mean, that's a no-brainer.
But that's where I used to be. I mean, like, it seems like we've been talking about this for a long time, but back when the realignment started, I thought the ACC was pretty much locked in. Their big mistake was not taking West Virginia, because they kind of went away from football and they were like, oh no, we don't want you academics, blah, blah, blah. When they could have just took West Virginia and Pitt and had another rivalry in the conference, which would have helped with the TV deals. And instead, like later they added Louisville and they were like, they're good. And it's like, they're trying to push this Louisville's good thing, but it's like Louisville has never really been good. They've been good at basketball, but not one of the top schools. Like, if I'm thinking like top 10 programs, like, I don't know if I'd mention Louisville. And then like, even in football, they're like, to me, people, they talk of like, oh yeah, they're like the third, they might be the third best team in the ACC. And it's like, okay, you have Clemson and Florida State. The third best team in the other conferences are like Penn State and like teams that have won the national championship. It's not like Louisville level. And that's nothing on Louisville, but it's the way the ACC kind of positioned themselves. And they let Notre Dame come in and do like the half conference thing, which was the nail in the coffin for the Big East. So it's like every decision they made is wrong. But yet they're so stubborn, and not even stubborn, they're just like so confident in themselves for no reason. It's like, the people down here talking, it's like, oh, the ACC, like, oh, yeah, they're going to get what they want. And because they're all zeroed in on basketball to the point where that's what got them in the mess. And ESPN keeps stringing them along because I've been telling you, basketball has to be cheaper and easier to produce, and it has more games. Even if they're not getting as many viewers, it's much easier to produce a basketball game in a smaller venue, air-conditioned, heated in the winter, where the football, you're outdoors in a lot of these stadiums, and it's annoying because you're there forever. They get more people, but like equipment's going to be costlier because it has to be able to do like extreme temperatures where you can do some crappy cutaways. Even some of the basketball games, man, they're still doing it in like 720p, which is like three times less than what 4K is resolution. It's crap. Even some of the playoff highlights from ESPN for Michigan's national championship, I was disappointed in because they weren't doing it like in pure 4K. The Big Ten on Fox has better production than the actual national championship. How embarrassing is that for ESPN? But ACC doesn't see it that way. And they're happy to just be on board and say like, all right, we'll get our bids for the basketball tournament, but it doesn't matter. Meanwhile, all the other conferences are just laughing. I guess the two conferences, top two. The other conference, like the Big 12, has, they're panicking, right? That's why they're adding everybody they can from the Pac-12. They're like, come on, guys.
But, you know, like I look... And I feel like there was a major opportunity missed by the ACC because as they saw this shift happening where the SEC was poaching schools and the Big Ten was poaching schools, the ACC's just continued to sit on their hands. And it hasn't been until everything's been kind of divvied out that they're like, well, I guess we'll just add SMU. Yeah, and Cal and Stanford.
The SMU move makes me think that they're stuck in the 80s with television and basketball. Because like there was a lot of money being thrown around at basketball in the 80s with like shoe contracts and things like that. And there was a 30 for 30 on it if you want to go watch it. But SMU's from that same era before like the death penalty. They're throwing a ton of money around. And it's almost like the ACC was like, we're getting a lot of flack for not investing in football. What school is known for throwing money around with football? SMU. Let's see what they're up to. Like the most random school that hasn't competed for anything. They've been out of the death penalty for like 20 years. Penn State recovered in like 5 years. I know they didn't get the death penalty, but they recovered from their scandal so fast. SMU's still talking about theirs. Why? Tons of schools have issues and have sanctions and stuff.
Because nobody got to the extent that they got gutted.
But that was years ago. And teams like UCF.
Nobody had it since.
And UCF could come out of nowhere and USF could come out of nowhere and be better than SMU. Give me a break. Who cares if they got gutted? Who cares? Utah jumped up so fast that they're in the Pac-12 now. SMU has done jack shit. They've done nothing. Oh, except for cry about sanctions from 30, 40 years ago at this point.
But
schools are younger than them, have had more success. They have no reason to complain.
But they have the Dallas market and they have money. And anymore, it doesn't matter.
You see, that's what the ACC, that's what they heard. They're like, oh, cities? We love cities. Why? Do people watch? Oh, hell no. They don't go to the games. Have you seen Miami crowds? Pitt crowds? SMU, they might have crowds. We don't know. TCU was already the better program. Another school that came up out of nowhere. I mean, they were good back in the 1930s or whatever. But it wasn't like they were top of the world. So, I think it has more to do with are the schools going to throw money around? SMU, the only reason they took them is because they're like not even taking a TV payout. They have boosters lined up to compete with new NIL. And I've already seen them predicted to play Florida State this year in the ACC championship. That would be the funniest outcome. Like, move over, Louisville. SMU is the new guy. No longer number three guy. No longer number three. But meanwhile, Pitt's actually winning the conference. Has Louisville even won the ACC in football? Lamar Jackson, maybe? No?
No.
That would have been Clemson, right?
That would have been Clemson's run.
Yeah, so like, if SMU like, comes in,
but that was one of the weird things with the ACC is that you have Pitt winning the conference, you have Florida State winning, you have Clemson winning. Like, there was an obscure Georgia Tech that was in there, Virginia Tech. Like, there have been different teams over the last couple years that have had opportunities to play for the conference championship, win it, where it's not like every year it's boiling down to, is it Michigan or is it Ohio State? And with very little variance, there's where your conference champ is.
But see, in that same time frame, Michigan State has won it. Penn State has won it. I think Wisconsin has won it. But the thing is, like, the other schools have done nothing. Like, the Virginia Tech team that won it lost to Michigan in the bowl game. Georgia Tech won it. Oh, they lose to Iowa. It's like, why the hell are you losing to Iowa? What are you doing? Like, in a bowl game. Looking back through, these other schools that they try to hype up, they haven't won anything. It's insane. Like, the third most ACC champs is still Maryland. Maryland hasn't been in there for, what, over a decade now? They have 9. NC State has 7. Duke has 7. They're the next 2. Would you have been able to guess that?
I would have been surprised with Duke.
Clemson's number 1, then Florida State 2, Maryland's 3, and NC State or Duke are tied for 4. Like, Virginia Tech, they came in. They were like the pre-Louisville, where everyone's like, oh, yeah, Mike Vick, baby. We got Virginia Tech. They're going to be the team. Them and Miami coming in. Oh boy, all football. And then it didn't work out. So that's where I said, like, they have Pitt win actually one championship, and they don't even care to even brag about Pitt. They're like right on the Louisville, and the ACC media down here is like, oh, Louisville's just so tough. They haven't won anything. It's almost like if the Big Ten's hyping up Purdue. It's like, no, they're not really hyping up Purdue. Purdue's in the Big Ten championship game against Michigan. They know they're going to get boat raced. And it's funny because then Louisville hired Purdue's coach. And it's basically like, you're trying to be the Purdue of the ACC. Like, awesome. Great work, guys. You might win. Now with like the split, they're not gonna win the conference. It's going to be just like, now with the Big Ten at least, with Oregon coming in, and Washington and USC, they're bringing the teams that can actually hopefully win the conference. They try with Nebraska. Like I said, I think Nebraska still has the most conference championships of any school. There's no way they're going to maintain that record after another 10, 20 years. We'll be talking about, like, remember when Nebraska, they used to be good? It's going to be like going down this list. Like, oh yeah, Duke. When was their last champ? 1989. It's like, oh, okay.
But I'm purposefully going to veer off on a tangent for a minute. But I think that's where, like, inflating these conferences, I'm holding my breath for what the playoff's going to bring, because when you have all these teams, in theory, it should be your conference champs. And then they're saying from the 4 major conferences are guaranteed in. But then don't tell me that the number 2 ACC team is a lock for one of those at-large spots. Because they're, let's be honest, they're not. Like,
man, it was a play-in game. When they played Clemson, that was a play-in game. Didn't you know, son?
But see, I'm okay with the number 2 team not being in, as long as it's in that frame of, we're getting diverse teams in, that if you can't win your conference, then you don't need to be in the playoff. Like, I'm okay with that. But otherwise, it's just another invitational. It doesn't matter what you want. And we're going to run into the exact same issue next year that we ran into this year, that you're going to have someone that has a record that's deserving of getting in, but it's, well, they didn't play USC and Washington, or they didn't play Vanderbilt and Ole Miss.
But see, now the playoff is so big, I think they can squeeze more of those schools in. And it's very rare for teams to go undefeated. The messiness is going to be when they have other conference champs, like the UCF, where because it's an invitational, if in the new playoff, UCF's undefeated and they're like, have them ranked 13 and they don't get in, if they go ahead and beat and Auburn are, it's going to be like, they're going to have an even easier bowl game now, because if they don't make the playoffs and they're actually good, most of the other top teams are in the playoffs. So the chances of them winning their bowl game and being able to claim national champs is very high. I joked about it going into the playoffs with like Alabama and like Michigan. Like, we don't even know how good Alabama's championship teams are. People keep saying like, oh, that Michigan team, they would have lost to so-and-so Bama. Bama barely had any undefeated national champs. To me, the first thing is, who are the undefeated national champs? Throw out all the Bama teams that already have a loss, because they're not better than the undefeated Michigan team from last year. They're not, because how do you know? They had a loss. Like, there's no argument for that. You can't say, oh, 14-1 Ohio State was like the best Big Ten team ever. It's like they lost to Virginia Tech of all teams. Embarrassing at home. Wasn't it at home, or maybe it was on the road? I can't remember that one. But it's like, they're not the best. That's why I think it irritated Ohio State fans so much, is because like when they went undefeated in 2002, they had the phantom pass interference. Like, Michigan didn't have, all they had is Connor Stallions. So it's like the cheating. That's it. They can't argue about the team, because they know, looking at the record books, that's like probably one of the best, if not the best, Big Ten team in modern era is the Michigan team from last year. And that's why all the people yammering about like, oh, Georgia this, they would have crushed them. It's like, Georgia had a loss, though. And Michigan beat the team, even though the overtime, you could say, well, they went to overtime the one time. But it's like, people talk about Nebraska 97. Every common game that they had against Michigan, Michigan beat them by way more points. The only thing, argument that Nebraska fans have is that we beat up Peyton Manning in the bowl game. That's why we're the best team. Like, in reality, they weren't. They probably would have lost to Michigan. You don't know. That's why, like, the 1997 one is like a funny, like, pre-BCS. But that's like what Nebraska fans hang on to, because that was like their, what, one of their last great teams. So they have to point to that, where Michigan now has an undefeated champ, and not that many schools have undefeated. Not that many schools have undefeated national champs. And so that's where, if you go back through, I don't even know if I could find them, like a list of them all, but like, that's where, if you have an undefeated team and they don't get in the playoffs, they have to be able to claim it. That's why I've been a proponent of going back through the history books. I don't care what the schedule is like. If they went undefeated back in time, claim it as a national championship, just because undefeated seasons are so rare that if you go by like teams with the most undefeated seasons, it's like a much smaller list than what teams claim as like national champs. Like, oh, Alabama could claim 24 national champs, like Notre Dame 22, Michigan 19. But they in reality, they don't. They all claim like around 10 or 11 or whatever. I think Michigan has 12 now, Notre Dame, or Alabama has like 16 or 18. Like, the difference is literally Nick Saban. If he wasn't there at Bama, Michigan might have the most national champs. But if you go through Alabama's like championship list, they're not undefeated. So how many of them in the modern, like with the playoffs, we're only going to have more and more teams that aren't undefeated. Like 2020 was Alabama undefeated. To 17, they had a loss. 15, they had a loss. 12, they had a loss. 11, they had a loss. 2009 was it. So with Nick Saban, they've only had two undefeated teams. So every other team that people say were the best college football team ever, not true. Not true at all. Not even close. Like, you have to go back, like the 2001 Miami and so many NFL studs, they were undefeated. Easily better than a lot of those Bama teams, because the Bama teams actually lost on the field. That's why 2017 was so key. UCF, undefeated. Bama, they claimed the champ, and people laugh at UCF. UCF was undefeated. Bama wasn't.
Well, and I look at that same run, and Florida State in 99 had the wire-to-wire national champs, where they started the year off, expected to win it all, and throughout the course of the year, maintained their number one ranking from start to finish, and finished off the national championship with the win. And to me, that was one of the more impressive feats, just because you have so many teams that they either lose a game in the middle, or they have that hiccup game that they squeak out at the last minute and they're still undefeated, but it's like, well, they did struggle against, you know, insert team, so we got to drop them two spots or three spots.
Well, that's where, honestly, Michigan should have had a wire-to-wire last year. A lot of people kept Georgia up there, but Georgia lost so many people that, in reality, a normal team doesn't stay number one if they lose that many people. Like, look how far Michigan lost, or dropped, with the new quarterback and everything. You hear that every year. Oh, new quarterback. But teams still ranked Ohio State ahead of Michigan with the new quarterback, and they knew JJ had won the Big Ten two times in a row. Like, there's no way that Michigan shouldn't have been ranked number one coming in last year. They had only lost one game by, like, what, 6 points? And they had everyone coming back. Georgia would have been the only other one, but they had so much lost that I really don't think you can say, like, up, oh, Georgia's going to be three-time champs, even though that never happens. Like, any other team, I feel like, if you had Alabama, had everyone come back, like last year's Michigan, they would have been number one all year. Michigan didn't play anyone close, really, until Harbaugh got suspended at the end. And even then, they were still beating teams pretty good. They just kept moving the stick. That's why, to me, like that, with the insanity of all the sanctions, you can't take that away. They did everything they could to try to, the Big Ten did everything they could to ruin that national championship. And now they're going to just, what, soak it up? Because I keep seeing Big Ten, like, push ads and stuff for the national, home of the national champs. Like, give me a break. Give me a break. You guys wanted Ohio State to be in the playoffs. They honestly did. And that's why it's funny that Ohio State blew their entire program up in terms of coaching and bringing in Chip Kelly and, like, doing a bunch of weird stuff. But that's what has me. If I'm Florida State and the ACC is fighting you and they're not even helping you get into the playoffs like last year, what are you still in the conference for? But, all right, I was dying.
You know, there is this other side to this where I would optimistically like to think that the Big Ten would want to expand and allow Florida State in. But it's not a guarantee that they would accept Florida State in with the movement, and it's not a guarantee that the SEC would take them in. So I mean, there is a little bit of a gamble on their part that can they find, if they are able to get out, are they able to find a home? Because I think the worst deal would be to get out of the ACC and then not have a home and end up in like the Big 12, where you're essentially robbing Peter to pay Paul.
See, but that's where I think that there's no way they would accept the Big 12 invite at this point. I feel like if things go crazy, they probably have a backdoor deal with like Clemson and a couple other schools where they can blow up the ACC and start their own football focus conference where they just take maybe the best of the Big 12 and we can get rid of that stupid name. Because like I hate having, what, five conferences left and two of them are named the Big something? Dumb. Have the Big Ten and that's it. Like, go back to PAC or whatever. Heartland Conference or something stupid. But having Florida State in the Big Ten makes the most sense. Brings a whole new state in. Really takes a shot at the SEC. And that's why I think ESPN is helping the ACC fight. Because they're trying to keep the documents locked up saying it's trade secrets. Because they don't want that poor deal out now. Everyone knows it's bad. But they don't want it out there. Because then it's going to hurt their other investment, the SEC. Because they're going to be forced to offer Florida State. Even though I think, and I mean it's not really even an opinion at this point. I think it's pretty factual. Florida State coming into the SEC dilutes the conference. Because they already have that part of the country locked down. Like Auburn's decently close to the panhandle or whatever. So they already have Florida in there. They don't want Florida State in there. They just don't need them. And having them come in doesn't give them any new viewers. Doesn't give them anything. Where if the Big Ten comes in it's not diluting the conference. If anything, it's bringing another football power in that can potentially compete. Penn State hasn't been able to get to the top. Nebraska hasn't been able to get to the top. We don't know about the other Pac schools, but Florida State, what the heck? Let them give it a few cracks. Maybe they'll come in with a new fertile recruiting ground and really liven things up on the east side. Because I know, like, Michigan, I would love to see have travels down to Florida help recruiting. And I've even said a school like Texas is something. Reach out to A&M. If the Longhorns aren't going to join the SEC and then jump right back to the Big Ten, or they would have did it already and just joined the Big Ten to begin with. But now the Big Ten has holes in. They got California recruiting. If they can lock down Florida recruiting and get someone in Texas recruiting, they have a school in every hotbed. They have the biggest schools. They have the biggest cities on lockdown. There's no way the SEC can go up and get a school in like New York unless they grab Syracuse, which everyone knows isn't really near New York City or anything. So, like, you're not going to get that market. You're not going to get Chicago. Like, what are you going to bring back? University of Chicago? They gave up sports years ago. So, like, you're done. You're not going to get L.A. The Big Ten locked up both L.A. cities, or both L.A. schools. So, going forward, the Big Ten at Florida State has to just be there and say, like, look, guys, don't be dumb. Don't be dumb. Let us in. We'll figure out the pay. Who cares? Like, Oregon's taking a less pay cut because they know. They don't want to be in the SEC.
Well, and just with Florida State getting into the SEC or the Big Ten, now you have that buffer area that even if you lose two games in that conference, regardless of who it is, you can still say, well, they still played that tough competition, and it gives you more leeway as a justification into the playoffs. Where if you stay in the ACC, now you're completely, like, your margin of error is so thin that it's like you have to win the conference or else you don't stand a chance.
But see, now I'm throwing this little tidbit out there, because don't put the fact that the college football playoff committee gave the TV deal back to ESPN. Don't forget that aspect, because right now CBS, NBC, and Fox all broadcast the Big Ten. Now, for the championship game, it goes to Fox, I believe, every year. If they add that consolation game in, or two, then think of all the hype the Big Ten's going to be getting, because that's going to be like their Super Bowl for college football. That's the last game of the year for these networks, is if they can work something out where the Pac-12 used to be on Friday, you have like a pre-consolation prize game where it could be like Oregon. Let's say Oregon and Ohio State are the top two. So like you could have one consolation game be Florida State and Michigan. You could have the other one be Penn State and USC. And that's a hell of a slate for a final football weekend on regular TV. Where the SEC, no matter what they do, it's not going to be on regular TV. You might have one game, or they're not going to throw them all on ABC. They don't even do that now. So the SEC championship game is going to be on ESPN or ESPN2. And they're going to lose the TV ratings every year. Especially if you're putting up big names like that, where the Big Ten could say, all right, like, let's say if you're cycling in three games for like the final weekend where you slot first, second, third place game, whatever, you can name whatever you want, because who cares? It's all made up, right? You have the championship game, and then you have two consolation games where you can have a mix of schools like Nebraska, even Iowa, Wisconsin, to Florida State, Penn State. If you bring in Miami, that's another big-time one. USC, Oregon, Washington. Like, you have enough power schools in there that people would watch on TV, even if it's not for the first place game. Because now you're playing for playoff seeding. And the Big Ten guy even came out, Petetti or whatever his name is, he said that the Michigan beef's behind them now. Of course it is, because they won the Natty. So that's behind. They're all on good terms. But they're looking for ways to get more eyeballs on teams that can potentially grab those at-large bids. So don't look past their consolation weekend Don't look past that, because I have a feeling it's going to happen.
Well, and this is the other another thing going forward, is that the ACC, the other member schools, are watching what happens to Florida State, because they're going to be the one to set the precedent. If they can manage to win these cases or negotiate it down where they're not owing $500 million, if they can walk out the door with $30 million, Clemson's going to march. Miami's going to try to march. You're going to look at three or four schools that are going to try to move out past the ACC anyhow.
Yeah, but you're saying they're going to try to move? But I've been thinking about that. I don't think they are. Because the Big Ten's not... They're going to take a couple. You'll get a couple. Because they're not just going to take Florida State. You'll probably get Miami. That's why I mentioned them. Because, like, bringing Miami is good. Because then you get two travel partners, kind of like UCLA and USC. Or maybe Georgia Tech. I don't know if Miami's closer or Georgia Tech's closer to Florida State. Because aren't they all the way up on the panhandle?
Yeah, so, like, Georgia Tech might even be closer.
So, like, there, two travel partners I think you're going to get. Clemson, though, I don't think they get the pick. I don't think Clemson gets picked up. And the SEC is not diluting their conference with Clemson. If they're not going to dilute it with Florida State, which they should have grabbed to lock out the Big Ten, and the fact that they haven't grabbed them yet still, when ESPN, all they have to do is move some numbers around, tells me that they don't want to do it at all. They're not going to do it for Clemson.
Well, as of right now, ESPN's getting the milk for free because they have Florida State tied down to that god-awful contract, and they're getting the viewership, and they're getting the money for nothing.
But that's what I'm saying. If they move Florida State to the SEC right now, they would have to do nothing. They might have to pay a little bit more if the ACC backfills or whatever, but that's it. They don't lose Florida State. Right now, they're playing chicken with the Big Ten, saying, you know, Florida State's not worth it, so take them. And I'm giving a football view, saying that the recruiting ground is worth it, and the TV's eyeballs are still worth it in Florida. And if you can get a travel partner, Georgia Tech would be even better than Miami, honestly, in terms of football numbers. And I don't know what the map looks like, but the Big Ten tries to always like have the map kind of touch, so they could eventually grab like Virginia. If the Big Ten really wanted to go for football, they could just say, hey, guys, we're just going to take Virginia Tech, NC State, Georgia Tech, and Florida State. And the SEC would be like, what the hell? Because, like, I know the Big Ten probably doesn't want to do that because those teams haven't been competing either. You're better off taking Virginia. And actually, I've heard Virginia might even be out for both conferences. So I think North Carolina is the key, maybe Duke. But, like, the fact that North Carolina is actively pushing a hockey team that we talked about a couple weeks ago, I think the Big Ten has to be in on them. I wouldn't be surprised if they joined and added hockey, and they were just, hey, we're here, guys. We're in the Big Ten. This is it. North Carolina, Florida State, Georgia Tech, and whatever other school. Like, take your pick. Notre Dame, maybe. Pitt. Just bring Pitt in. Who cares? Because, like, if you just take all the football schools, they're going to beat each other up, and they're not going to be football schools anymore. You got to take schools like Virginia that have support, and they suck. And they've always sucked, but they have support. Like, look at Nebraska. It's insane to me how they keep having support when their team sucks. But that's what the Big Ten has. Like, it's much better for Nebraska to be on TV and have a packed stadium, and people be pumped up that they have three wins, dude. Best three-win team of all time. Like, that's what their fans are saying. Who says that? Best three-win team of all time. That wouldn't even be, like, if Michigan has three wins, it's like, we got to fire everybody. Not the best team of anything, right? It's like, best six-win team. Like, that's Nebraska's mindset, and it helps the Big Ten. Because, like, the ACC doesn't have that. Half their games are empty. So, like, even North Carolina, I've been salivating. Because, dude, Michigan would own North Carolina Stadium. It's empty. Oh my gosh, it would be insane. I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State packed that stadium. I mean, Penn State's a little bit blue, so they probably would be like, look at all the blue seats out here today. But, I mean, like, ours is a dark blue. Dark, dark. Heck, I would make sure I wear maize, because that stands out like a mother, you know? Like, wear the bright maize on TV, and you see, like, you won't be seeing that silver reflection of the empty seat anymore. The bleachers there. So that's what I want. Because every time Michigan plays on here, I would get the ticket. I would go. And North Carolina would be like, we're selling a ton of tickets. But I don't think they have, like, other Southern... Like, SEC grads don't move to, like, North Carolina, right? But, like, a lot of the North people move down. And that's why I think it makes sense to join the Big Ten. But have you been to Myrtle Beach and seen all the Ohio people there? It's insane. But... I know we went longer than I thought. Do you have anything else you want to talk about? I think we hit an hour. I could be wrong.
No, that's about everything.
I mean, I'm kind of fired up about it because the ACC, I like a lot of the schools like Pitt. I have family members go there. Friends of the show go there. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, I talk about them and they're just more depressed. It's like, yeah, Michigan won. I wish we could do something like that. It's like our best years, like, just a forget about it. Like, win the ACC, that's it. That's, like, our hype. You can't have, like, I wish other schools could have the Michigan miracle season last year. Like, Washington was close. But you can't tell me that Washington deserves it more than a Pitt or a Virginia Tech, right? And they haven't had it forever. Like, Virginia Tech fans, they still support. And why? Like, I don't understand why they lost their recruiting area. They just lost it to the SEC now. Even Penn State was losing a lot of their top recruits from the Philly area to Georgia. And that infuriated me more than anything. Because, like, Michigan was going into Jersey, grabbing everybody they wanted. And same with the Northeast, because Don Brown even. I mean, Sanders still is from, like, up in their area somewhere. So, like, Michigan's been owning it. But, like, Penn State always had Philly locked down. And when I look at the recruiting board, it's like, Georgia, 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 then Penn State. It's like, what the hell, Penn State? You're not winning New Jersey anymore. You're not winning any of the Northeast to Michigan, but yet you're not winning your own state either now? Like, frankly, what the hell are you doing? What are you doing? And that's where I think Florida State and the Big Ten need to start thinking about it, because the SEC hype is real, and Michigan winning the national championship could shift things, but... Ohio State 2002, Ohio State 2014, Michigan 2023. We're only winning a championship every decade, buddies. And it's one of the two. I mean, Michigan 97, right? That's the only... Penn State 94 doesn't count. Even though they should count it. That's like the most insane one to me. Undefeated, count it. It's what is it would be? 30-year anniversary? 40-year anniversary? Penn State should have, in 1994... national championship celebration this year and claim it. I'm going to start making vids on that. We need to do a couple shows on that because we need to make that. We need to speak that into existence, Matt. I think it's the 40-year anniversary, right? Why are you laughing? Is it? Am I doing my math wrong? It's 30? I'll figure the numbers out, dude. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to push it. I think it's 30, right? I don't know, but I'm too long. Thanks for listening and we will see you next week.